Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the continuation of our vigil. We're getting very close now to the inauguration. I'll be leading the meditation this evening, and I hope within a day or two we'll have Tuya back with us as the inauguration approaches. But she's here anyway. So I just want to give my little report. Well, it's still, relatively early in the United States. Here it's midnight. And, well, on the East Coast, Washington, it's 5 p.m. There have been developments, but I would say a state of tension is existing. We just don't know how many of the insurrectionists will show up and what their plans may be. From one perspective, they may choose to attack state houses, which under the circumstances may be an easier target, given that the Capitol is at present so well fortified. And some of the leaders have warned them against coming to Washington. Well, every possible precaution, of course, is being taken. I may have mentioned that one of the leading proponents of the continuation of Mr. Trump's presidency visited him yesterday with a list of desperate measures, which somehow were photographed at a distance by one of the cameras of a reporter, and it became evident that even martial law was being considered. At least this man was strongly proposing martial law, as were two of the individuals that who were serving or about to serve time for criminal activity. They had advised martial law as well. Now, that would mean the abrogation of the Constitution and the offsetting of the election vote and an impossibility of going through with the inauguration. I think it's very unlikely at this period that such a thing would occur, but we never know what may happen in the psyche of an unstable individual who, it is now evident, has grave psychological problems. Now, another factor entered here that might offset the declaration of martial law. It's that the present dweller in the White House plans a red carpet military band send-off for himself on the morning of the inauguration, you know, complete with all of the fanfare, very unlike the way President Nixon some 40 years ago departed from Washington. It was a more humble affair, and I don't think it competed with the inauguration of his successor, maybe the swearing in. But this is meant to be a kind of a competition against the inauguration, with attention drawn to the man who can never be satisfied with the amount of attention that he is given. He also perhaps is ordering a 21-gun salute. You know, this is considered a great honor when you have a 21-gun salute. And if others will not praise him, and if his favorability rating is down to 29 or 28%, he will praise himself. So I hope that America, United States of America, in which the new psychology should be under rapid development, the so-called master Apollodorus or Polydorus, lives in an undisclosed location in the United States, and he is one who is certainly behind the psychological movement, the new type of psychology, which will be a scientific ray astrological psychology, which takes cognizance of the soul. We hope that the United States will learn from this debacle, which has been growing in intensity for 4 years, and which finally ends in ignominy, a day that will live in infamy. Some have added the attack on the Capitol to Pearl Harbor, where that great disciple, Franklin Roosevelt, on December 7th, gave a speech that said that this is a day that will live in infamy. Well, in another respect, it is the first such attack on the Capitol since the War of 1812, and the Capitol was burnt down in 1814 by the British troops. And it was the plan of some to do the same and to capture and murder certain congresspeople and senators who were not going along with the true stealing of the election, the true disenfranchisement of millions. So you can see that we really are in a kind of constitutional crisis at the moment. The Tibetans saw it coming with all of the latent fascism in the United States, and we can understand that with the lack of sufficient education for so many millions, and also given their stage in evolution, that this kind of thing could happen and has happened. All it takes is a lightning rod, and the man with psychopathological problems is that lightning rod, has been that lightning rod. And now we see this possibility of a childish parade seeking to, you know, in the jargon of the theater, seeking to upstage the inauguration. I don't know what could be more childish or more telling. We don't know whether it's going to be pulled off or not, but perhaps it will, and that too will stand as part of the lesson. Anyway, our nation, or the nation of the United States, should be an increasingly psychologically sophisticated nation. Psychology and spirituality should go hand in hand and perhaps make bridges for the people who are susceptible, let's say, to a better vision of the future. They're not there yet, but they can turn from that glaring red to at least purple. So we have our, you know, largely there is a great spiritual propaganda movement, propagation of ideas along the second ray line at this time. DK talks about that. And I think that many of us are involved in bringing these ideas forward so that at least they're in the air and at least this hopeless way of dealing with, well, it's not unity and it's not harmony, of dealing with social political currents, a truly hopeless way of doing it, can be set aside for something better. The question is, how much do we all have to suffer? And he promised this, the Tibetan promised this, the much suffering would lies in store for, he called it, that great people. Fortunately for the soul of that great people, how much must be endured before people live according to principle and not according to the exaltation of their petty little lower ego? Usually it's a fall from a tower in the fifth petal, which finally convinces people that there must be a better way, a way with less suffering involved. Meanwhile, we have the immediate task of guarding and defending, you know, being part of the great defending wall, even on our own little level, during the next few days. I don't know yet how many have arrived in Washington. Maybe, you know, the weekend is the time for arrival. And the days immediately before the inauguration, the time for protest and demonstration. The danger is infiltration. There are a number in the police force and in the armed forces. I don't know about the National Guard, but I suspect so, who are convinced that Trump and Jesus Christ are about equal. You heard that the son of Billy Graham, inheriting the mantle of that great preacher, we don't know what Billy Graham would have done. He died at 99, almost reaching 100. Said that the betrayal of Trump is equivalent to the betrayal of Jesus. Well, you know, it drives you to silence because you would expect there to be much more discrimination. But this is what can happen when a wall of dogmatic thought forms obsesses the consciousness. Think about that for a minute. We're up against that kind of unrelenting concretion, which really, to a great extent, is based upon the fear of not going to heaven, whatever heaven is. There's been a lot of discussion as well concerning the militarization of the Christian right. not the words of the second ray Christ, but the idea of Jesus as a great general. Well, DK says he has been, but he certainly outgrew that, and his great ideal turned out to be the Lord Maitreya. But people are still stuck in the Martian Scorpio quality of Christianity, and we cannot say that Islam is any better. This blend of the sixth ray and Scorpio is a lethal combination. But there are Christian leaders speaking up and trying to offset this white man militarism. You know, it's in their minds, it is a fight for white supremacy. But as I've said, you know, you've got to look at the real human being inside. What's going on in the causal body? What's going on in the egoic lotus? That's the more real human being. And who can see that? But one day we will. And that's how we must judge of the quality of any human being of any race. What is the quality of the causal body, egoic lotus? So now the intensification occurs. We'll stay vigilant. That's what a vigil is all about, really, isn't it? We'll stay watchful. And we'll use the second of the great invocations. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. Even the tendencies towards evil in a great democracy and in the democracy that is supposed to be the guiding light of all nations, democracy arising in all nations. Some are not mature yet, and it'll be a while before they pass through the dictator stage. We've seen some of that immediately, stealing elections and being in there for, you know, 20 or 30 years, president for life, you know the story. But democracy is meant to prevail. It's the method of hierarchy, and we have to support it best we can. Now, there may be a couple of things that people want to say or have written. And looks like it. So Tia is saying here that yesterday a Virginia man has been arrested after law enforcement found at least one firearm and more than 500 rounds of ammunition in his truck as he tried to enter a checkpoint near the Capitol on Friday evening with a credential that was not authorized according to court documents. Well, let's hope that that kind of sharp eye prevails as people, what was this other man? He brought 2,500 rounds of ammunition and bombs and long guns and sidearms. I think he is arrested, but here is an example of what can happen when fanaticism and a refusal to think about what a demigod tells you. I mean, come on, Jesus and Donald Trump. Give me a break from one of the most prominent preachers in America. What has captured their mind? Are they obsessed? Master Moria warned in the 20s. You know, at the time that that photo of Master DK was being taken, apparently Master DK, marvelous photo, He said there's an epidemic of obsession. Is it happening again? Let's see. From Jesse, sorry to say this, but DT seems to love to spend taxpayer monies on himself and his family. Well, this has become obvious over the years. The sense of values, you know, I mean, psychologically, we have to explore how this happened. Now, Mary Trump, she's done a good job, and now she's writing on the psychological malaise. Well, it's more than malaise, the psychological tragedy, let's just say, of the American people at this time. I think it'll be an important book. She's a good psychologist. She's very insightful. So, you know, what is selfishness? When is it overcome? At the second initiation, a considerable blow against selfishness is impacting the majority of probationary initiates. But even then it's not done, because at the third degree comes the contest between Vulcan and Mars. Vulcan is the veiled planet in this case, and it is spiritual will with the ability to stand in spiritual being. And then there's Mars, the planet of selfishness. Going on a little bit here, and I see some of you will be wanting to talk, and I'm glad about that. Andy, terrorist has just been stopped around the Capitol. Yeah, okay. So you're saying what Tia said with 500 rounds. It is obvious the terrorist was testing the possibility of penetration. Well, that's rather sinister, and but certainly possible. Everyone needs to listen to the series The Family, which aired 4 years ago on Netflix, which explains a lot of what is being displayed in our world. I think, well, there are still a few sane people left, and they have their art forms, and they can be illuminating. This has started a very long time ago and planned for this. These are Nazi agendas, certainly agree there, which are finally being revealed. In a way, it can be viewed as a blessing, as this is shaking into view. Who are the holders of such ugly thoughts? Well, it happened, you know, it can't happen here, because look at Germany, was such a high culture with the greatest musicians that we've had ever in our Western world. I mean, you know, it's the home of Beethoven, Brahms, and Bach. Who could imagine that it could succumb to the banality of Nazism with their horrible music, excuse me, as a musician, I have to comment on that. Now, going on, let's see here. So Andy is saying here again, wait a second, hold on. Jan is saying, Trump is 100% glamour and 50% poll results show half don't even believe he should be impeached. It's like he developed, excuse me, I want to get this straight. It's like he developed an unhealthy codependent relationship with half of this country, those who were attracted to his glamour and desensitized by his repeating beaded lies. That's how the dweller in them wants to be. And he's given them permission to be that way. Nothing like letting the beast out of the bottle, you know? No responsibility needs to be taken when the blame is all found outside ourselves. It becomes pure victimhood, you know? So, I mean, Hitler himself was filled with self-pity at various points. as if Germany was unworthy of him, as he said. And Andy is saying again here, this is pure racism from the right. Watch The Familia on Netflix and you will understand how deep this is. This, the madman in the White House thinks he is the chosen one. Well, apparently he believes it. The same words uttered in that series by the GOP, which has always been a cover for Nazis, for Nazism. Well, the condemnation from so many now is pretty strong. And Bruno is saying astrologically here that on the 20th of January, Mars will conjunct with Uranus. Well, that's explosion in Taurus and will boost this fanatical shadow mode ray. I can only say that Saturn is square to it. And I think conjunct the Sun from Aquarius. And there are sometimes when Saturn is a very useful restraint upon what might otherwise explode from behind the scenes. You know, when you're looking at Mars, Uranus, and the 12th house, as we did a little earlier, didn't we? You're seeing explosions behind the scenes. At the moment and at a distance and with discrimination, I personally observe how the sixth ray is in this big crisis with the second ray soul of USA. I believe that's the foundational issue here. The problem is with the normalization of evil. Well, that's the same way as telling the big lie, right? Repeat it loud enough, often enough, and people with no discrimination believe it. From Jesse, again, sorry to say this, but the GOP feed the DT beast until he was he was uncontainable. Okay, lessons to be learned. And now we have Asher would like to speak, and I assume Jose maybe has something to say here too. So Asher, go ahead, please. Can you lift your, I see your hand up.
Yeah, can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, you're good, we're good. You go ahead, Asher.
I wanted to say a few things. Like, it's been a journey for me navigating my own fears and knowings and feeling a very strong impulse to go into silence and solitude. I'm very, very grateful for these vigils because they help me keep my frequency and vibration high. But as I look at the bigger picture, I'm reminded of something I read or heard, I can't remember where, but it was very hard to find a soul that would incarnate as Adolf Hitler. It was like, I don't know, maybe it was you or somebody mentioned it. And I'm thinking, as a soul, Donald Trump has served, as we look back upon it with hindsight, maybe after the people hear it, we're all gone in this lifetime, at least anyway. He served to change the old order and rally forth the masses so that what the Constitution's really about, government for and by the people, for the I am race. The I am race is actually, is an anagram for America. I always, when I lived in England, knew that America had this quality about it, you know, entrepreneurism, democracy. I always felt that when I landed in this country, I was always attracted to moving to America. So I'm just looking at the bigger picture. Maybe this is something, if we can keep up with the vigils, and there are so many activities going on, which I'm going off the grid, but there are so many people praying, we're doing our vigils, and that is adding so much light, which is bringing up some of the stuff. And it won't even, I'm thinking, well, you know, you're the occult experts in this, but I'm thinking in an intuitive way that as we hold this vibration, it will collapse. It may not need to be addressed in its own way. And you had talked about the ring pass knot, and even you mentioned the other day that there's a place in Saturn that has been reserved
round for these spot. Souls.
the dark spot, right. So I'm just thinking in the bigger picture, things are moving nicely, and it is something to celebrate as long as we keep up with this. And I'm very hopeful for the younger generation that's incarnating. I think some of them have the ability and the blueprints and for a very positive future. And so I think this is what change and acceleration, whether you're a pregnant person or a pupa in its sticky potential state of, you know, metamorphosing into something else, this is what it looks like. But I think it's very critical. I think it's inevitable, but I think the only variable is time and whether we, you know, like there's so much going on. I can't turn anything on. I'm just trying to be off the grid so much, but it makes its way to me and I'm really limiting to, you know, working with a few things. But there's so many activities of light going on, so many people gathering. I know we're focusing on this minuscule percentage of these insurrectionists, but everywhere I see goodness and kindness and benevolence and wanting to do things, and it's unified people. And, you know, COVID served to, you know, to let people reprioritize their lives. And so
behind it all,
I'm hoping there's an optimistic outlook that, you know, we can look focus and magnify the good.
Well, we you know, of course we have to recognize the good along the, in this case, the soul line as it emerges. And what do they say? You know, it's about tie up your camel. You know, the idea is that you have to emphasize the good. But look, you know, it's clear that an attempted overthrow of the government is also occurring. And so the first ray methods have to be used to prevent that from happening. You probably read that that Vice President Pence came, you know, with "Hang Mike Pence" as the cry. He was only minutes away from a confrontation, and maybe not even many minutes.
He was about 100 yards away from where that other man who was running up the stairs on the wrong direction.
So you see, both are required. One has to, you know, let's put it like this. We had the Second World War. There was a pacifism that was sweeping through the country, and if that had prevailed, we all might be in a very different situation right now. So while recognizing the emerging good and you know, giving it its fair due and rejoicing that the good is being evoked by the present evil, at the same time, let's just say we've got to protect the president-elect, obviously, the vice president-elect. We have to protect our leaders in representative government. So both are simultaneously having to
And thank you for doing these vigils. Techniques that Tuija is coming up with, I'm not aware of them, so it's good to
Tuija is the engine behind this, let me tell
right.
you. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you
for emphasizing, you know, the good, obviously the good. And but we've got to keep our powder dry, you know. Okay. Jose, it looks like you're up, so please.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
All right, thank you. As you know, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. And I wanted to share with you my concerns about the five states that flip blue as being in a higher level of danger, in addition to Washington, D.C. at this point. Yes. As you may remember, they are Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia.
Yeah.
I think those are the states that the forces of evil may be targeting at this point because of the flip, particularly those states that are being run by the Republican administrations, because they consider them particularly a betrayal of their purpose, of their mission. Yeah. So those five states are in my mind as a especially protective meditation that is needed there. And so I want to share, when I visualized the five-point star, I had Washington DC at the center, but those five states and the capitals of those five states are high in my mind in need of protection at this point.
Yeah.
And I also been thinking along the lines of ashes, and I think we have been working with the formula of the technique of light to dissipate glamour. That's important to build that wall of light and to send that beam of light to dissipate. But something that we have to be warding off in ourselves, particularly, is that it doesn't, the alertness doesn't get us into fear, sense of fear. And I think that we may be dealing with two different but complementary forces at this point. The cause of it, I agree with you and all of us, that is the glamour, this six-ray dogmatic personality fanaticism that we have witnessed as the cause of this. But most of the people, and I think I would like to, it's a wonderful quote that I got from, I reviewed, I've read many times. For most people, they're dealing with Maya. And I like this definition of Maya given by DK, vital, unthinking, emotional mess. Those four words sum up for me what I see in most people who are the followers. Not the leaders. The leaders are glamoured, but the followers mostly are part of this vital, unthinking, emotional mess, which is basically Maya and not glamour necessarily. And the technique for that is different from the technique of light. It's the technique of indifference, the technique of abstraction, of withdrawing the attention from that problem at the same time that you provide the level of alertness to protect us from the danger. So at the individual level, I have needed to blend both. They need to do this kind of exercises, the technique of the light, the protecting wall, but also to ward off from the that alertness becoming fear. And the technique of indifference, I think, may be a way to help us in that right balance between those two poles of attention to the danger and at the same time indifference to the fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yes, good points. And of course, we have this Abhaya mudra, which is a step in that direction. And we have the really potent meditation in Rule 10. Walk on that path wielding destruction and clearing out the refuse. And then look for the evil stream of force which seeks to mend the rent. Apply to that the energy of which you know. It led you from the ashram into the veils. And then we are to drive the evil back onto the astral plane. So that is, in a way, what comes first. But again, it is a dangerous meditation. I remember, you know, when we worked in the Arcane School headquarters, Mary Bailey wouldn't let us into the meditation until we had worked there for about a half a year. And she even left out parts of the meditation, which presumed that the person was somehow in the ashram. But still clearing the veil of impulsion, which is that vital, unthinking, emotional mess, the veil of distortion, which connects with glamour, the veil of separation, which connects with the mentality of illusion, and then finally the veil of aspiration. Those are things we have to clear out so they don't precipitate upon the physical plane. I think we're going to have to continue with that kind of clearing connected with that very potent meditation. If you haven't looked at it recently, anybody, just turn to chapter 10, rule 10, and you'll see in just a short little listing of points, maybe 7 points, an incredibly deep meditation about what comes first. So thanks for alerting to that. I would say, of course, the leaders too are subject to illusion. When I look at the QAnon, it's all Democrats are Satan worshiping pedophiles, right? Okay. What is that? What is that? Where does that come from? So there are terrible misinterpretations that are afoot and added, and they descend into the realm of the emotions and become even more powerful. And when it comes to people that are rushing around in that vital, unthinking, emotional mess, some of them actually are fairly bright people, conventionally so. And they are actually swept by beliefs about the stolen election, which means that they have been disenfranchised, so they think. And something has been robbed from them, not just from Donald Trump. So they feel diminished. And who's diminishing them? The people who are called the elite, which means the more highly educated people. And it often simply means those who have more incarnational experience. So I was thinking today that the factor of envy is a really dangerous dynamic that sweeps through people who have, they've lost their jobs, They have, they are relatively paid so much less than the people in high places. They look to the people in high places and they are green with envy. And that means they want to topple them and bring them down. And since they direct the government in the Republican form of government, representational form of government, that means overthrowing the government. So there is personal inferiority complex operating here, which also works out as violence and a feeling of that something has been taken from you by those who are no better than you, and yet they've taken something from you. So I think we have a big thing, reincarnation, when the Christ reintroduces it, it will take care of the factor of envy. I'm recalling that Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote on this subject in his wonderful essays. They used to call him the Boston Brahmin. He was a clergyman, but he was well acquainted with Eastern literature. And basically, he's saying, if you envy another person's position, it's the height of stupidity. So that has to be brought forward into the people who angrily envy those with more experience and higher status than they are. Michael, I think it's an issue.
And that envy is a wonderful tool being used by the dark forces to oppose any hierarchy, anything that is seen as superior. And that, I think, is a big stumbling block for the externalization of the hierarchy and the reappearance of the Christ. We cannot have an externalization if there's no recognition of there are people more evolved than we are, being able to see more and to lead us into the future. And that's a wonderful, the fact that the crystallized hierarchies of the past have betrayed the trust of humanity is being used at this point to negate all hierarchies. And that's a wonderful tool. And this mechanism of envy that you identify, I think, is the way for them to block.
To get any, even.
Correct. So that's...
You know, there is in Australia, you know, I learned this as I was teaching down there, something they call the tall poppy syndrome. Meaning that if you're a poppy, you know, a flower, and your head sticks up a little higher than the others, whack, along comes the knife and cuts it down. And we also have to realize that although Aquarius is the sign of the hierarchy, it is also a sign in which a leveling effect occurs. And we saw that in the first demonstration of communism through Russia, you know. There was supposedly a leveling effect, but of course, behind the scenes, there were always the leaders and those who took advantage of their position. It never really got achieved, but there's something about the mass, something about the 666, which will not tolerate hierarchy, real hierarchy. And you're quite right, I think, that the abuse of what hierarchy has been, which is not based on meritocracy, has been a considerable, done considerable damage to the real concept. You know, humility here, this is humility. And one thing about these crowds, these mobs, they have no humility whatsoever. They want to be on top. So humility, Libra, you know, this has, and it's often achieved through suffering. And I think we're going to witness it in that way. But good point, Jose, good points on that. Okay, now we have a little bit more before we go on. Unless you had something further to say, I'm not sure. But a librarian in Brooklyn, New York, compiled a list of about 20 or 30 books shedding some light on the question of how do we get here, including some of the history of Hitler, the USA, and DT listed and briefly described in this CNN article. So there it is. And maybe you want to get into that. And the question of how we got here is always important, you know. Otherwise, we just repeat history. Bruno is saying a good statement. And Tuya is saying, and also remembering the color white violet is exactly transforming fear. Yes, in the White Magic book, there is that section on the transformation of fear, minor fears, and finally, fears induced by real occult attacks. So in this meditation, we have been using that to a certain extent. And here's Jan speaking to Jose. Yes, Jose, emotional mess. And you're right on. Those certain states, too, I believe. Detachment to results as well as to fear is necessary, too. Or, it's necessary, too. Or we can get discouraged. We can get discouraged, yes. Well, you know, for me, it's always the middle path, Jan. It's always the middle path. I'm thinking that under normal circumstances, detachment from results is the wise way to proceed. And, you know, we'll be in our glamour semi-weekly now programs. We'll be talking about the technique which is used for Maya. Technique of indifference, and right now we're talking about the highest technique. I forget what it's called, but it's identification, something like that. It's the technique for dispelling of illusion, So there are three basic techniques. Usually we use the technique of light. But under dire circumstances, you know, it's a bit hard when somebody's threatening to aim a long rifle into the Senate chamber to have detachment from results. You have to act immediately as if the results are very important. Now, of course, maybe deep down in one's internal psyche, there is this realization that this is all the play of the Mahamaya and so forth. But there are moments when one has to act in the most concerted, concentrated, caring way about the immediate scene. I'm sure you agree with that. And it's not, you know, detachment from results is maybe a larger philosophical issue about how we can live, but there are moments of crisis and we have to, well, you know, let's say there was the crisis in World War II where the Lords of Liberation deflected the current of knowledge from the demanding minds of the German scientists who wanted to build the bomb and directed it towards those who were working in Los Alamos, New Mexico, the Allied group, so that they could build the bomb. Now, you know, results were very important at that time. Of course, these were high souls on the fifth ray, and the ashram was really there, so we weren't really talking about Maya at all. We were somehow talking about life and death for civilization and even for the survival of humanity. Okay. But thank you for your thoughts. And Heike is saying here, and I think when working with the glamour, the people in Maya are left alone. And the grip is gone. I see them more like being irritated when the illusion of their leaders is gone. And it may be so. But now maybe you've witnessed today especially, and maybe a little yesterday, some of the insurrectionists saying, we take our marching orders from our president. He invited us here. We follow him. Wow, you know, this is really sixth ray fanaticism, and it's also a way of laying blame on him for what they did. So it's not entirely stupid. But that means that there are people of intelligence who invaded the Capitol. But it's a warped intelligence. And it's a kind of intelligence that will not accept investigation through reason. It is bound around by fanatical belief. Now, they may know how to shoot a gun, you know, how to take hostages, how to do all kinds of tactical combat things. There's a kind of intelligence there, but it's not the fair-minded, principled intelligence. And then, of course, it's also true, and we will see the extent to which it is true, that when the leader fades from prominence, even as he has faded off the platforms like Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of thing, that much of his power will go, and he will leave some of his followers in a state of disorientation. But the grim part of it is that some of these groups say, now get out of the way, Donald Trump. You betrayed us, and we're just going to take over ourselves because we hate all Democrats, and this is war. So we see the genie is out of the bottle, and that Trump was the tool, but not the necessary and final tool to quell this kind of rebellion of the 666. Okay, there's a little bit more, and then we'll get into a abbreviated form of the meditation. Detachment to the results of the work and not a gun barrel. Okay, well, you know, I mean, yes, I understand you're explaining your point of view here. And this is Bruno, in remembering now a point of observation, very on the fourth ray line, we detach from both poles in opposition, and as observer, we fight both poles, revealing a new point not seen before from a higher point of soul, I guess. Yeah, well, this is where the fourth ray integration techniques and the fourth ray law of repulse come in. And finally, St. Paul, you know, who was very much fourth ray and first ray, he enunciated the mantra, having done all to stand. And that, very interestingly, the word of power, or a kind of word of power, for the fourth ray is steadfastness. You know, like for the, let's see, the second ray, I think, is called, third ray is called stillness. And then centralization is, I think, the second ray technique, something like that. And I can't remember exactly the first ray, you know, okay, what it was. Maybe somebody has it. Yeah. Having done all to stand. Anyway, in those old commentary sections, the method is given to us. And here's Jessie saying that, what's she saying here? Okay. Lying and acting out in inappropriate ways has been given acceptance and constant promotion during the last 4+ years. So what are we seeing? What we are seeing has been, yeah, condoned. Permission has been given to be the beast, you know? We have the unicorn and we have the king of beasts. And the king of beasts has not been blinded by the unicorn, as must be the case. The two eyes have to become one. We haven't seen that at all. We've seen the permission given for the beast to prowl and to assert itself over the higher consciousness. That's because the leader does not have that higher consciousness and simply advances what he himself does. Okay, yeah, scorpionic, the steadfastness, yes. And that's the major fourth ray sign. And Jesse's saying, you think many bad actors are intelligent and understand what they are doing. Well, certainly, if it's true, and let's see, that some of the people in the House of Representatives actually were coordinating with the leaders of the insurrection, it will be a very heinous crime, and certainly they knew what they were doing. Now we've been told that there's such a distrust, again, among the members of the House or maybe even the Senate, that some are watchful and nervous about the others carrying guns because they think the guns could be used against them by their own colleagues. Now, what state have we arrived at in that particular condition? All right. All right, friends, I think that's it, unless there is something further to be said. I think that's it. Let's see. No hands raised. Yeah, we do have to get on with the meditation anyway. Let me ask. I know Tuya is here, but there's a lot going on here that may not make it possible for her to leave the meditation. And so I would have to do an abbreviated form. Okay, I think she's been... okay. Yeah, I'll have to do that. And I'll somewhat improvise. Yeah. So, let's get into our meditative mode. And realize that what we're attempting to do is participate in a crisis which is not only that of the United States, but is really part of the battle between autocracy and democracy. We're certainly not ready for the type of monarchy that Shambhala suggests. Our next step is to honor the will of all the people. There's so much using of the mantra, we the people, we the people. And when it is used in a naive or partisan way, it generally means we who espouse a certain point of view and not the others. They are not the people, we are the people. So the division that has been created in this divide and conquer administration has been extremely destructive. When there's a breakdown of trust so that you even wonder whether your fellow member of the House of Representatives is going to shoot you because passions are so high, then we've seen a terrible destruction of that which holds a nation together. And as far as that goes, holds humanity together in a cooperation of United Nations. Our work is to try to make successful the great vision of the Maha Chohan, and of course of the Bodhisattva and Manu, but as regent of the United States and of Europe, with Master Jupiter as regent of the Far East, we are looking for the idea expressed in the motto of the United States, one of the mottos, e pluribus unum, out of many, one. Think about that for a minute. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. Now that has to be applied to the states within the United States and the diverse population and the diverse population of Europe, where the Master R is also regent. but extending the idea out of the many countries and many diverse type of populations within the entirety of humanity, E Pluribus Unum is a good motto. Out of many, one. One international body, one soul, harmony among the many parts. Right now, the attack is literally on with the plot to surround the three centers of government in Washington, D.C. Whether that's just a lot of talk or whether something is planned, we'll find out shortly. But we, as a small part of that great defending wall, can take our positions and hold our positions. Hand in hand with all true servers, and repel these evil plans. And with the help of the guardians, the angel kingdom, we can be much strengthened. We can be sure that the angelic protectors are also summoned into this potential standoff, which can occur in Washington, and as Jose said, at the five points of the star, where the vote is being contested, the swing states, so to speak. Where we have Arizona, and we have Michigan and Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and we have Georgia. I think they've given up on Nevada, which also was in question. But if martial law would be declared, it would be to illegally redo the election at those five points. And so those are points which have to be protected. And of course, the dignitaries, the leaders of those states, realize that they've been shutting down Capitol buildings and calling in the National Guard. They've been doing many things. But to think that the United States should be in such a predicament, all because of an egotistical tool that could be used by the forces of obstruction. So it was prescient, you know, we began these meditations trying to defend the triangular seat of government in the Washington, D.C., only to find out that a serious plot to ring it around with thousands was being discussed and proposed. But perhaps the defensive forces are significant. if the Christ is going to reappear, and he will, that assurance we have, this kind of house cleaning in the political area, not to mention the religious area, is utterly necessary. So for a moment, let's realize we are serving the real Christ and his hierarchy. We're serving the Bodhisattva. The great teacher of the coming Aquarian age, and the crisis evoking, as ever the light is evoked in the darkness, is an important dynamic. Pluto, the Lord of Darkness, is rising to the surface. As DK tells us, it must, before the first initiation, either of the individual or of the group or of humanity, we're seeing the dregs of the human aura necessary to see and to dissipate. And we know it is a dangerous prospect. Those representatives and senators who said they felt their life was in danger were speaking the truth. And there were those among them, armed, whose intention it was to capture and kill, even though they retreat from that kind of statement, it is also true. So the Abhaya Mudra demonstrates our position to stand in spiritual being fearlessly. The white light purifies and banishes fear. So let's see that white light sweeping through the centers of government and across the United States. We'll concentrate now where the crisis is. And the violet light can transform and reorder and bring in archetypally intended relationship and strengthen the repelling power of the etheric body. So let us see the violet light sweeping through our centers of government and all across the United States, touching the etheric body of everyone so that it can these vehicles can respond more to what is intended, to divine order. We have witnessed the cleansing power of violet, of ultraviolet. Its applications are only now beginning to be understood. But if those people animated by the Martian red can be pervaded by the purity of white and by the transformative reordering of the violet light, they won't necessarily know where it came from, but their violence can be reduced. And the rose light is necessary. Silvery rose, the esoteric color of the sixth ray. Calming. Making it possible for the red to evolve into something more tranquil, so that the astral body is no longer filled with glamour. Passions have been so high, and still are, because deep down people are so afraid, whether it's losing heaven, losing power, losing money, losing something. But when the rose light enters, pervading the three centers of government, and sweeping across the nation, and entering the auras of all peoples, including especially the fanatically violent ones, then the violence can be reduced. And the tendency towards mayhem offset. And above all, the indigo blue. The great synthetic ray. The color of the midnight sky, DK tells us. There are so many beautiful blues, of course, but that deep, deep blue, the color of the midnight sky. The ray of the Christ, the ray of the soul of the United States, the eventual ray of humanity, the color of the soul ray of the solar logos, and probably of the solar logos' ultimate monadic ray, major monadic ray. We see this indigo blue absorbing all disharmony, friction, contention. Violence, even within our three seats of government. The White House, the Capitol, and the Supreme Court, pervading those three and sweeping across the United States. Including everyone, as it is the most inclusive of the rays. And really bringing about the reality of E Pluribus Unum. Out of many, one. A great inclusion, a great unity. Pervading that circle within which the inauguration is to take place. And absorbing the potential violence. Working against the God of War. The beautiful indigo blue. For the inauguration and for days and weeks and years beyond, so that at last the soul ray of the United States, through the angel of the presence, may take its proper place. And within it, the yellow of Budi, the rose of tranquility, the violet of transformative order, the white of purity, you'll know from reading DK that this great ray includes them all. So with the help of the hierarchy and the funnels created and the receptivity of the servers, such as we attempt to be, and the powerful assistance of the angel kingdom, we go forward in confidence, standing steadfastly, standing in spiritual being steadfastly, and guarding that which gives evidence of our democracy and of the democratic impulse throughout the world. We reach invocatively towards the Lords of Liberation, and maybe can play a small part in invoking, and thus evoking perhaps, their assistance in ways probably that we cannot understand, just as it was in the Second World War. But perhaps because we seek to serve the Christ, Sanat Kumara and the planetary logos and the place of our planet within the solar system, perhaps they can respond. Let the Lords of Liberation issue forth. Let them bring succor to the sons of men. Let the rider from the secret place come forth and coming save. Come forth, O mighty one. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O mighty one. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O mighty one. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O mighty one, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. And so the indigo light circulates welding into a unity the three branches of government, welding into a unity the peoples of the United States. At least the process must begin. Above it all, the solar angel of our country, and Saint Michael as Saturn, the law, defeating the beast. The beast is always present, and the throne of divinity rests upon the claws of the beast. But to aid us and to aid the planet, the angelic guardians are present. We imagine the truth of this. Supporting the three points of the governmental triangle, the White House, the Capitol, and the Supreme Court. And four guardians stand at the cardinal points with the great angel overhead and offer their protection. Fundamentally, the four protect the White House and the new president to come. The four protect the Capitol, where the inauguration will occur, the bleachers on the steps, and create a sacred space with Saint Michael supervising this protection against these forces of disruption. And the four protect the Supreme Court with its fidelity, intended fidelity to the Constitution of the United States, a sacred document, with Saint Michael as Saturn supervising. So we all follow the law, and the branches of government follow the law. And thus, we see that this protection will be successful, and that we will draw closer to the esoteric motto of the United States, I light the way, and help to evoke the esoteric mottos of all nations for whom such mottos are given. Success against the beast, taming of the beast, the unicorn over the lion, I light the way. And all occurs within this sphere of growing indigo light. So carry these colors with you these next days, and end in the synthesis of indigo, which can include all and make of the many one. in every nation and throughout humanity. The responsibility on us is strong. We'll meet again, not at 8 p.m., but tomorrow is Sunday, so it's 10 p.m. GMT. By then, we'll know more of what has gathered in the capital city, and we will know how best esoterically to continue. And from St. Francis, all of the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Tomorrow we will also have the 6 o'clock p.m. meditation on attracting resources for hierarchical work. And then later on, we'll have the this work of the vigil. Tuya and I and all the team appreciate your presence. We'll be seeing you soon.